Welcome, everybody, to this week's webcast. I hope everybody can hear me. Check 1, 2, the Father loves you. If you can hear me, maybe just give me a thumbs up in the comments, because I'm not with Mark today. I'm trusting because I'm talking to myself in that sense, but I know you're here with me. But everybody hear me? Okay, I see a thumbs up there, so I'm broadcasting loud and clear. Mark, as I mentioned, isn't with me today. He is he's away doing a school, and so I've been in touch with him, and I heard this week that, or just even earlier today, that things are going really well. So yeah, just keep praying for him, and and praying for every heart that it can be just impacted with this revelation that Almighty God is our dad. And that is just such an amazing revelation. And you know, when I teach at schools, you know, I often say that this idea of the revelation of the love of God, and you know, people say, you know, oh, I've heard about the Father's love before, you know, I learned that in Sunday school or whatever. What else do you have? And I truly believe that the more that we are actually just totally impacted by this revelation of love, it just kind of ruins us for anything else. And you know, of course, Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he said, make love your greatest aim, or the Amplified Version says, make love your greatest quest. And so I don't know about you, but I'm on that quest, and you know, and I'm, you know, wanting to keep the main thing the main thing. And so, you know, today is a fresh opportunity. The Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning, and that's what it says in Lamentations, and his compassions never fail. So I trust that we will be, I've got big shoes to fill when Mark's not here, and, we miss him terribly, but I'll do my best, and I appreciate you taking the time to be on the webcast with me. Today I want to talk about I just titled it Rediscover Your Unique Voice. And as you can see, the graphic in the background, and just the kind of the picture of a waveform. And if you know what a waveform is, that is basically when it's a recording of a sound, right? And we're talking particularly about people's voices. And if one of the things that I think is really, really important for us to think about, at least for me, is that, you know, do you know that, you know, we all have fingerprints, right? And you can get fingerprinted, and that fingerprint is a match to you. It is your fingerprint. There's no one else in the world that has the same fingerprint as you. Well, you know, and of course, if you look at your cornea, you know, your eye, it's the same thing. If you measure you test your DNA, same thing, right? Each and every one of us is a one of a kind, unique, just really work of art from God himself. But when it comes to our voice is the same way, that, you know, you may sound similar to somebody else, but, you know, when we do the, when they can do these measurements about, the voice print, you know, people have, everyone is different. And so what I thought I would do just for fun here is just to show you what my voice print looks like. So I'm going to have this in the background, just going for a little bit while I'm speaking, but just to give you an idea actually what that is. So as I'm speaking here, the ups and downs that you see behind me on the TV screen is actually my voice. And my voice is unique. It's never been expressed. Now, this may sound a little dramatic, but in the history of humanity, this voice signature has never been expressed before. And so that's the kind of thing that I feel. I think this is one of the areas, and of course it's the idea of identity and sonship, and you know, just being loved and affirmed and having a sense of purpose and destiny, that this is a real sweet spot for me personally, because I feel that, I just feel that God wants you and I to be able to be free to really come to terms with this this revelation of love, come to terms with the uniqueness that we are, and that we would be able to be empowered, freed up, permissioned to be able to be that expression, the image of the invisible God that each and every one of us are. So before I start, I just want to pray that God would just help me, you know, first and foremost, but that he would give us all ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And my prayer for you in particular is that God would encourage you in your own journey, that you would realize that your voice is significant and your voice is really, really important. And God wants you to use your voice, and sometimes that takes steps of faith, and that's okay, because and God understands our struggles in this, and I just believe that he just really is encouraging us tonight. So I just want to pray. Father, I thank you, Abba, that you have created every one of your sons and daughters uniquely. There is not two of us that are exactly the same. You love to create so much that you haven't made two blades of grass the same, two snowflakes. You are the ultimate creator, and you just absolutely love to create. You've never made copies. You don't need to, because there's so much creativity that resides within your being. And so, Father, I just pray that tonight, as we unpack what this actually means for each and every one of us, Abba, I just pray that, there would just be encouragement that would come to the listeners, whether it's live or recorded, and just a strengthening in our inner being just to be who you created us to be, and not to feel a pressure to, you know, just submit to conformities of this world, or, you know, pressures from, you know, whether it's media or government or parents or family or whatever, but we would be free to be the sons and daughters that you created us to be, and that we would be the voice that you want us to speak. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are the ultimate expression of the Father, and you're the one that said in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they won't follow." So we just want to hear your voice tonight, and we also want to partner with you, co-labor with you, Jesus, in using our own voice to the glory of the Father. So thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. So there we go. There's my unique voice. And the one thing, it's interesting about a voice, and I think this is one of the things that, you know, I want to encourage you, and this is, again, it comes down to this idea of how unique voices are. Like, there's something about a texture of a voice. Like when Jesus said in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they won't follow." There's something about a voice, right, that is very distinct. Like, for instance, if a woman, a stranger, called me up on the telephone and said, "Hi, Barry, this is your wife, Anne. How are you doing?" Now, what would I do? If I immediately, I would not recognize the voice, right? And so with that voice, I would say, "No, you're not my wife." In the same way, my wife could call me, and she wouldn't even have to identify herself, but just saying a few words, I would know it's her. And so it's one of those things that I believe that what God really desires for us is to be able to listen to his voice, to be able to be tenderized to his voice, to recognize his voice. And as Jesus said, "The voice of a stranger, my sheep won't follow." And I think one of the things in this journey that I believe the Father wants to do for us is that he wants to help us to have that discerning ear. And Jesus said to all the churches in the book of Revelation, that when he talked to them, he said, "To him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." And I truly believe that, and more today than ever, we need a discerning ability to hear the voice of God, that we need to recognize his voice. And again, it's not the words, right? But it's the voice. And you know, I had an experience, and I've shared this on the webcast a few times over the years. When I was a young Christian, well, you know, I was probably a Christian for 10 years at the time, but I was volunteer serving as a youth pastor at the church I was at. And, you know, every Friday night we would have a youth service. And the Sunday beforehand, I didn't go to church Sunday night because the Olympics were on, and I decided that I wanted to stay home and watch the Olympics, and I thought that was okay. And then on the Friday, we were all gathered together, and there was a one young gal who was exposed to a prophetic ministry, and this prophetic ministry was pretty harsh. It was the kind of prophetic ministry that that they would have prophetic words for people in meetings and call out their secret sin. And, you know, it was really tough. It was a very harsh thing. And so this young gal was really influenced by this prophetic ministry. So she's talking to me and she's saying, so I missed you at church Sunday night. Barry, where were you? And I said, well, I stayed home and watched the Olympics. And then she just went into this prophetic rant about how God, you know, wasn't pleased that I stayed home and watched TV, and it was just very, very harsh. And the crazy thing is I did realize, you know, I was very sensitive to the fact that how much TV I watched. So I was very open-hearted to what she said. And she said it publicly in front of all the youth. So afterwards I went to the Lord and I just said, you know, what was that you speaking to me through her? Cause I want to have an ear to hear what you're saying. And I really felt the Lord said, like, it was the way he answered me that really has helped me over the years. He says, he said, Barry, did you hear my voice in the words that she spoke? And when I thought, you know, because I felt it was really harsh, I felt it was judgmental, I felt it was condemning at the time, then I said, I didn't hear your voice. And so it was just something in me that it was like there was this recalibration inside of me that just made me really feel like, oh yeah, it's not the words, because people can say the right words. I mean, people can quote scripture. I mean, the devil knows the Bible backwards and forward, and he can quote it, he can manipulate it, he can distort it, he can do all kinds of things. But when he tries to lie to us, you know, when he tries to judge us, when he tries to condemn us, he's not speaking with the voice of a loving father. He's not speaking with the voice of Jesus, the loving shepherd. He's not speaking with the voice of the tender voice of the Holy Spirit. And you see, this is why the uniqueness of a voice is so important, because, you know, we are called to recognize the voice of the great shepherd. And I truly believe in the same way that you and I carry those same characteristics in our being, right? That we have that uniqueness of our voice that no one else on planet Earth has ever had. And so, you know, I just think that, you know, that is something that I believe the Father wants to really encourage us on today. And one of the things that when you think about just how God speaks, right? We have the old covenant and then we have the new covenant, right? The old covenant, the way that God, most of the time related to his people is he spoke through intermediaries. He spoke through Noah. He spoke through Abraham. He spoke through Moses, and he used prophets and judges and kings. And so it was like, for the most part, what God did, he didn't necessarily, you know, carte blanche, just speak to everybody all the time, individually and personally. But he used these leaders to actually speak to people, right? But in the new covenant, it's different. And I just want to read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. It says, God, having in the past spoken to the fathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, has at the end of these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And so now we see this change in which the way that God actually speaks now versus the old covenant. The old covenant, you know, Moses coming down with the tablets, you know, from Mount Sinai, and everybody being absolutely terrified. But now God is speaking in a different way. And in this way is that he is speaking through sons, right? And so this is where I really believe that that God wants to really speak to us about this. He wants to encourage us. He wants to remind us of this. And in Matthew chapter 21, this is another story, and Jesus is telling a parable about a man who planted a vineyard. He set a hedge about it. He dug a wine press. He built a tower. Then he leased it to farmers, right? And then he went to another country. And when the fruit of the season came to be ripe, he sent his servants to receive the fruit. But the farmers took the servants, beat one, killed another, and stoned another one, right? So I'm going to be starting to read from Matthew 21 verse 36, because this king is frustrated because he wants what's due to him, and so he sends all his servants. In verse 36 he says, again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they treated them the same way. But afterwards he sent to them his son, saying, they will respect my son. But the farmers, when they saw the son, said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. And so, you know, now, you know, what we're seeing is, really a picture of the cross, right? So basically what you're in the old covenant, God sent servants, you know, he sent judges, he sent kings, he sent prophets. And then in the new covenant, he sent his son. So in the same way that, you know, this king sent servants and they were mistreated, he said, I'm going to send my son and they're going to pay attention to him. And then they ended up killing the son. So, you know, God was, The visible, the manifest voice of God was absolutely spoken through Jesus. And in John 12:49, Jesus says this. He says, for I spoke not for myself, but the Father who sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And so, you know, so now we're beginning to see that it was Jesus who, in the new covenant, was the Son, because in the old covenant, God spoke through, you know, prophets, but now he's speaking through his Son, right? And in John 14, verse 9 to 10, we read about this, where Jesus not only spoke the words, but he was the actual manifestation of the Father, to those around him when he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The words, the works that I do are not my works, but the works of him who sent me. So we understand that, you know, when we talk about servants and sons, there is a difference, right? And of course, the old covenant, God sent servants, but in the new covenant, God speaks through his son. And I really believe that when God speaks through his son, he's continuing to speak through sons and daughters, in the new covenant. And that's you and me. And if we are able to actually come to terms with this, if we can come into grips with this understanding that God is actually speaking today continually through you and me. And there's a difference between a son or daughter and a servant or a worker, right? Sons and daughters carry their father's DNA. Sons and daughters have their father's best interest at heart. Sons and daughters are not hirelings. Sons and daughters are about their father's business. And sons and daughters know that they're heirs, and they live from that place of being heirs. And, you know, what does that make you feel like? To think that God actually is speaking through you in this, it's not just, you know, in, you know, the Jesus, but in this generation, God is still speaking through sons and daughters. And, you know, and if you think, oh, no, that's not the case. Matthew 8, 10, verse 18 to 20, Jesus is talking about a story about when his disciples are going to be persecuted and brought before governors and kings. So this is what he says in verse 18 of Matthew 10. Yes, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them and to the nations. But when they deliver you up, don't be anxious on how or what you will say, for it will be given you in that hour what you will say. For it is not, now listen to this, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks through you. You see, I really believe that the more that that we can come to terms with this, that God is still speaking on planet Earth. And of course, does he speak through, you know, the scriptures are paramount, they're absolutely, you know, I have such a high value for the scripture, but he is still speaking through sons and daughters. And that is the way that God speaks on planet Earth today. And even in 1 Peter 4:11. Now think about this, and this has been a real challenge for me personally. If anyone speaks, Peter says, let it be as it were the very words of God. If anyone serves, let it be as the very strength which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. But think of that for a moment. When we think about whoever speaks, if anyone speaks, let it be as if they are speaking the very words of God. And see, the reality of the kingdom, the reality of your life and my life is that as sons and daughters to God, the Bible says that we've been called to be conformed to the image of the Son, right? Which is Jesus. That's Romans 8:29. In Genesis 1:27, it talks about our divine origins, and it says God created man in his own image. In God's image, he created him, male and female, he created them. So, you know, we understand that when we talk about, you know, the image of God, it takes both a man and a woman to be able to manifest the image of God. Men aren't just a reflection of the image of God. Men and women, the masculine and the feminine are both, combine together so that you and I are able to be a manifestation of God's glory. And in Ephesians 2:10, and this is where it starts to get down to the, you know, our unique voice, right? This is what it says in the World English Bible version. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared that we would walk in them. And the New Living Translation says, for we are God's masterpiece. And you see, there are good works that God created in Christ in advance for you to do. Now, do you believe that to be true? Do you think, like, yeah, and I'm not talking about works of the flesh. I'm not talking about, you know, like getting into some, unhealthy works-based performance. I'm talking about part of who you are, that unique DNA, and I'm just going to see if this is still running, and it is. This is my voice print, right? This has never existed in humanity before, my unique voice. And I really believe that God has given you and I good works to do that are unique to us. And I, you know, I think that's one of the biggest things that we can all struggle with, because, you know, there's many reasons why we maybe wrestle with this, that, you know, we don't feel like we deserve it, or we feel unworthy, or we feel like, you know, we've missed it in the past and all these other things. But I just truly believe that in this session, I just believe the Father wants to encourage you. He wants to encourage me. He wants to remind us who we are, that there are good works that he prepared in advance for you to do. Because the reality is that you are a reflection of God Almighty. You know, we were created in his image, right? And when you think about how important that is to God, is that because you've never existed before, your DNA never existed, your voice print, your cornea, your fingerprint, it's all one of a kind originals. God's never duplicated anything twice. So that means the reflection of his nature that you actually carry has never ever been seen before. And so your voice is unique. Your voice is different than just the words you speak. Your voice reflects the substance of who you really are. And I believe the more that we can kind of come to terms with that and just ask God to speak into that. And there might be issues of disappointment. There might be issues of pain. There might be issues of judgment that people have made. Maybe there have been experiences that you've experienced where it has kind of diminished or shut down anything of yourself. But I truly believe that the Father wants to encourage you. He wants to encourage me today to be ourselves, to be able to say, Father, would you just show me my voice? Rediscover that unique voice that I have. Because if you don't do you, right? If you don't be you, then you are actually robbing the world of the image of God that He intended you to be. Years ago I saw this funny meme on Facebook that said, you might as well be you because everyone else is taken. And so I truly believe that maybe you would even during this, after or even during this webcast, that you would just reflect and say, I don't know. Am I really in touch with that, the uniqueness of who God made me to be? And I think one of the reasons why I am so passionate about this personally is because when it comes to the ministry world, I feel like I'm a bit of an odd bird. When I say that, it's not, self-depreciating. I know I'm a little bit weird. but I think God loves me the way I am, and it's okay. But it's one of the things that I've struggled with. I always like to think outside of the box. Like, case in point, you're looking at my voice print behind me. This came this morning when I'm praying to Papa. I'm saying, how do I show this uniqueness? And then the Holy Spirit started giving me these thoughts about how to simply set this up. And so, like, this is just how I'm wired. But, I'm a son of God. No, I'm dearly loved of the Father. I was trained in secular media. I've never, ever fit into any traditional media model. I tried being a pastor for 3.5 years after 19 years in the newspaper business, in the advertising side, and it didn't fit. I felt called, but it was like, it just didn't fit. It was like, David, when King Saul offered him his armor to go after Goliath, and King Saul was a big guy and David not so much. He was a little guy. When he put on Saul's armor, he said, this doesn't fit, And so at the risk of disappointing or disrespecting the king, he said, no, just give me five smooth stones and then, and a slingshot and I'm good. And I'm so thankful that David had the courage to do that and not to submit to the pressure and the expectation of the king of all Israel. Because when David was himself, he was trained at killing a bear, he killed a lion, like just being a shepherd boy. And so that was in that unique expression of who David was, that he was able to slay a giant. And so I just encourage you, not to think about other people or try to measure yourself by other people. For me in my own Christian life, I've spent a lot of time trying to live up to the expectations of others. Even in itinerant ministry, I don't really see myself as this, like a leader as much as or anything with pastoral. I just feel that I'm a little boy who found home. I'm a son who was trained in secular media. I love technology like this. And so this is what I do. And, I think that I am still learning to grow in that. And I just believe the Father wants you to grow in that as well, in the sense of if you feel that, for whatever reasons that you have not been able to be really in tune with your own voice. I've prayed for people many times when, I've asked them, what's the desires of your heart? They've looked at me. He's like, what do you love to do? And they would just say, I don't know. I've never given myself permission to ask that question. And so, I really believe that the Father, when we begin to experience His love at a deeper level, when we actually start really feeling affirmed and accepted about who we really are, then we allow ourselves to actually listen to our heart. Because Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in us to do and to act according to God's good pleasure. So He gives us the desires to do His work. So what I basically say to people when they ask about God's plan for their life, I just say, well, what's in your heart? I'm not talking about, carnal, sensual desires. I'm talking about the longings of your heart, the things that make you come alive. And I believe the Father wants to ignite that in you. See, there's a high cost to caving into other people's expectations. You rob the world of the image of God that you were created to be. you know, and in essence, if you don't have your own voice, then you're repeating somebody else. And in essence, your life becomes a parrot, like a parrot being the bird that just repeats what it hears. But I believe that the Father has made each and every one of us a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. And we are sons and daughters to Yahweh. We're not slaves. We're not servants. We're not worker bees in the kingdom. We're not, you know, just trying to eke out some kind of works to please a master that's harsh. We are sons and daughters to the living God. We are heirs of salvation. Galatians 4, 6, and 7, just to remind you of this, says, because you are children, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You see, that's who we are. You and I are heirs of God through Jesus Christ. And I truly believe that the Father wants us to be able to be reconnected to that unique voice. And when I say voice, it's not just the words you say. It's the very essence of who you are. It's the image of God that is in you, that I truly believe that God wants to set free in you and in me more today than yesterday, and hopefully more tomorrow than today. It's a continuum we're on, but it's a continuum of a journey of freedom. I just love what Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. He says, be therefore imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling sacrifice, or sweet-smelling fragrance. And I just love, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. You know, little kids love to imitate their parents, right? The older they get, they start to maybe disconnect from that. But I know when our kids were younger, you know, our kids would watch me or watch their mom, you know, cooking or me doing, you know, writing or drawing or whatever. And they would want to imitate that because they're our kids and they just loved us. I really believe that the Father wants to restore that beautiful innocence of being able to come into this place with the Father where you just say, oh, Dad, I just want to be like you. Just show me how I should go. And if you have lost your voice today, if you feel that maybe you've never been reconnected, I really believe that the Father wants to reconnect that. You know, just like the voice print behind you, there's never been one of these before, and there never will be at this voice print. And I just, in my heart, I want to be able to at the end of the day, I want to be true to me. I want to be true to who God created me to be. I don't want to spend my life trying to be like other people that I admire, you know, great men and women of God that I have a huge influence on me, but I'm not them. You know, my desire is that, Father, would you help me be me? You know, and would you just show me who I am? Tell me who I am and just awaken in me all the things that you want to. Maybe your voice was shut down when you were little. Maybe you never had permission even to ask the question or to discover your voice. Or maybe you thought that you'd have never had anything to say. And maybe a broken orphan world system convinced you that your voice wasn't enough. Or maybe even a broken religious system told you that your voice wasn't important. Or maybe your education, you felt like you were disqualified, or your gender. You know, oftentimes in ministry, if you're a woman in ministry, you know, in a male-dominated ministry organization, then you feel like you are somehow disqualified just because you're not a man. I believe the Father wants to encourage you. I just feel today that He wants to remind you that you have a unique personality. He determined the exact time of your birth, where you would be born, where you would live, who your parents would be. He is the absolute ultimate creator and the ultimate planner, even down to the very number of the hairs on your head. He fashioned you in His own image, and your earthen vessel is a spectacular container of the glory of God. And I believe it's His heart to bring a revelation of Himself through you. And He wants you to find your voice and speak as if you were speaking the very words of God. Now, understand this for one second. I'm not talking in a ministry context like you have to go to the nations or you have to preach or you have to teach or you have to travel. No, I really believe what the Father wants from you and I is just to be ourselves. That's all he's looking for. And with it, whether that's playing with your grandchildren, whether it's having a nap, whether it's drawing, painting, maybe it's doing things that in the world system doesn't, there's no sense of value for that. I believe the Father just wants to free you to be you. And, you know, we know in Romans 2, it says the goodness of God leads men to repent, leads men and women to repent. And, you know, we have made this idea of repentance as a sin-based shame word, like we turn from our sin, we're full of regret, we're full of shame. It feels like it's a word that we can feel slimed when somebody says repent, right? But the truth of the word, the Greek word for repent is metanoia. And it isn't a shame-based word. It just basically means to have a change of your mind. And in essence, it's like, it's elevating your thinking from down here in the earthly realm into the heavenly realms where God is. You know, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. So in essence, the metanoia, the repentance, which means going in the opposite direction, having a change of perspective, is actually coming into a place where we begin to think like God thinks, thinking his thoughts. And I really believe that, would you be willing in that sense to repent? I don't mean anything sin-based, shame, all that, but just a change of your thoughts and the change of your perceptions, the repent of comparing yourself with other people. Would you be willing to repent of trying to live up to other people's expectations? Would you be willing to repent from self-hatred? You know, oftentimes when we think of self-hatred, we think it's some form of humility, you know, where if I can kind of dismiss myself and dishonor myself, it somehow elevates God more. No, God wants you to love what he loves, and that's you. Would you be willing to repent from self-hatred? Looking in the mirror, judging yourself, you know, complaining about all the what you perceive as our imperfections. And would you be willing to repent from false humility, you know, where, you know, you just kind of live in that worm theology where, you know, you just, but it's just not true. You see, I truly believe that humility, true humility, and this is just my definition, is being able to understand that we have this treasure in 2 Corinthians in our earthen vessels. So that means we have the treasure of God in this clay pot, this broken clay pot, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So true humility is embracing the understanding that I'm a clay pot, but yet at the same time, I am a container of the spectacular glory of God, because I am his beloved son. And so I truly believe that if any of those things resonate with you, that you would maybe want to think about that, that maybe you would want to ask the Father to speak about those things. And because for me, I just want to encourage you to just simply embrace the earth-shaking eternal truth that you are a much-loved child of God and an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, and that you have been called to be a unique reflection of the image of God this side of heaven. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to say, Father, help me in this area of finding my voice, you know, and how has that voice been lost by, you know, have I spent my life trying to be like other people? Like there was a quote that I heard once that says that every person who was ever born was born a one-of-a-kind original. But the tragedy in life is that most of us die copies. You see that voice print behind me, for those who are watching on video, you can see that is a unique reflection of my voice. And there's never been one like that. Well, that's the same thing for you. There has never been another you. And I truly believe that the Father wants to encourage you today. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to be able to really, just be the good works to live out. You know, it says, Paul said to Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God that is within you, that there is just this awareness. And again, it's not just a spirituality, like everything is holy, everything is pure. Watching your children's soccer games It's an act of worship. When we begin to understand that we are sons and daughters to God and He loves us and we can, He speaks to us, He directs us through the desires of our hearts, then we start to say, okay, what are the desires of my heart? What do I love to do? Am I doing it? And it again, it's nothing to make you feel bad, but it's something to say, wow, this can give you hope and excitement and say, wow, I have a voice. My voice has never, ever been heard before. And the Father wants your voice to be heard. I just want to encourage you, and whether that's your speaking voice, whether that's your singing voice, that may be your dancing or your creative expressions. It might be even giving yourself permission. If you've been somebody like me, like a type A personality, driven and striving and all that stuff all my life, or, you know, before I came into this revelation, and of course I've battled it since, but, you know, maybe God will say, I want you to rest. I want you to take some time off. I don't want you to have your value system based on some broken understanding from a world system. But I truly believe that the Father loves your voice. And, you know, I just think when even I say that, you know, where Romans 8:15, it says that we've not received a spirit that makes us a slave again to fear, but we've received the spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. And, you know, I don't know, even when I'm saying it, I just feel the Father's joy when He hears your voice crying, Abba, your voice. Not somebody else's voice, your voice, and you really are my Father. You see, when He hears your voice crying, Abba, there's no one else on planet Earth that can say that like you do. And I truly believe that touches His heart to the very, very core of our being. You see, I think, you know, I know what I'm speaking of. You know, this is something that I have struggled with. You know, much of my Christian life, I feel like I've wrestled with this thing, and, you know, like even in, like I mentioned, in itinerant ministry, and I don't feel like I'm a Bible teacher in that sense. I don't feel like I'm a apostolic leader. I'm just a little boy that found home. But yet when I've tried to measure myself and I've tried to fit in or try to understand that, that's where I get into trouble. And I really believe that, you know, one of the things for me in this whole journey is that I am still a work in progress. And I am just like you every day, just trying to do my best to hear God, to be obedient, to be courageous, to do the things that I feel He wants me to do. You know, and an example of that, just even this year, we have one of our websites is godlovesyou.tv. Ann and I bought the domain name, I think probably 7 years ago, because at that point when you would go type in God loves you, like .com, .org, at that point, they were all, domain names that were squatted. And that what that means is basically people bought the names to try to sell them to make money. And I just said, Papa, I just want God loves you. I just want those words in a domain name that would just be on the internet. And so we bought godlovesyou.tv because that was the best domain name we could get. And you know, we've been, you know, doing a few things on it, but this year I felt like I felt the Lord was in it, but it was my desire. I thought, what if I could actually write a blog every day and just describe love, the love of God, 365 different ways. And I just felt the Father say to me at the time, and I just felt Him say, like, that I could actually write a short devotional on every one of these descriptions of love. And from the first person. So, you know, it's in like from God's perspective. So it's like the way I felt it at the time was like, I felt like that I would just write a devotional where it would be from the Father. It would be like a kiss in the morning from the Father every time that somebody woke up. And then it would be talking about all these different attributes of love. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you with this, that this was something that was a real stretch for me. You know, I've done some other things where I've paraphrased in the first person before, but I've never, ever written, at devotionals, and 365 of these devotionals, you know. So this was something that was a real stretch for me, and I'm in process with this. You know, I'm not even halfway through this year writing these devotionals. They're short, you know, three paragraph long devotionals every day from the Father to each and every one of us. But the scripture in 1 Peter 4 that says, when you speak as if you are speaking the very words of God, actually just really, really challenged me, because I'm going to think, because, you know, I'm going like, I don't want to pretend that I'm, you know, like I put words in God's mouth, but I just felt the Father say, yeah, son, I want you to do this. This is good. This is great. This is good for you. And so this is a journey that I'm on. And yet, to be honest, it's been something that I feel very vulnerable about when I write these. I feel very tender about, and yet I feel the Father encouraging me to do it. And, you know, sometimes it does take courage to be able to speak the voice that God has given us. So I just want to just spend a few minutes praying for each and every one of us, and praying that God would be able to, I don't know, I guess just, If any of this stuff resonates with any of you guys, you know, or just ask the Father about it, about have you lost your voice? Have you found your voice? Do you know what your voice is? And is the Father speaking to you? And I just believe that there's such an encouragement from Him to you to say, ah, I go for it. So if you just, I'm just going to pray, and I'm just going to ask that the Father would come to each and every one of us, and that, yeah, by His Spirit, He would just encourage you, and He'd encourage me, and that, yeah, that we would just be able to find that voice, to rediscover that unique voice, not be ashamed of that voice, not be fearful of being judged for that, that we would be absolutely free. So I'm just going to put on the music and just ask the Father to come by the power of His Spirit. Whoa. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. Whoa. That you've always loved us, and you will always love us. And you created us with good works in mind, in advance, in Christ, for us to do. And so, Father, I just pray right now for our sons and daughters around the world. I pray for the metanoia repentance. Not the repentance of, you know, shame-based stuff, but just a change on how we think. Like we would actually go in a different direction, where shame wouldn't rule us, condemnation wouldn't rule us, judgment wouldn't rule us, but Father, that we would just come into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Whoa. And Father, if there's anybody who, like me, who has spent much of their life comparing themselves with other people, Father, I pray for freedom to come now. Freedom that from having to measure and evaluate ourselves by other people. Father, you never do that. You never do that. All you've ever wanted is us to be ourselves. So I just want to encourage you, if that's you, that you would just have a change of mind, change of think like God thinks towards this circumstance. And if you've been somebody who has just tried to live up to other people's expectations, making people happy, pleasing people, and always feeling like you just aren't enough, I just pray that, yeah, would you just repent from that? Would you just say, yeah, I don't want to be a people pleaser. I want to be a pleaser of God. I want to live a life of an offering, presenting my body as a living sacrifice, being who God created me to be. I just repent from people pleasing. If you've struggled with self-hatred, and you've entertained a lot of negative thoughts about your own life and why you're why you're disqualified. I just pray right now that the Father would just come by His Spirit and love on you, and that you would receive His love, and you would reject self-hatred and embrace the son or daughter that He created you to be. If you've struggled with self-hatred, you know, or false humility, fear and anxiety, Father, I just pray your love would come into every area of our heart. Wow. That struggles to believe that we're loved and we're enough the way you made us to be. Maybe your voice was shut down when you were little. Maybe parents just judged you. Maybe a school teacher judged you, shut you down, told you to stop dreaming. Maybe you've never had permission to even discover that unique voice that God gave you. Because there was always a plan for your life. There was always a career. There was always an expectation. And Father, I just pray by your Spirit that you would just give your sons and daughters the freedom to discover who they really are. And maybe you have felt like you've had nothing to say. And I just want to encourage you. You have something to say. And it might not be speaking. It might be even just the look in your eyes, a loving look to somebody, or a gentle touch, or a kind embrace. But the Father is in you and is working through you. You are His beloved son and daughter, or daughter. Maybe you thought your voice isn't enough. I just pray that the Father would say, yeah, it is enough, and I love to hear your voice. Maybe even in a religious context, in a church context, a religious system has told you that your voice wasn't important. Or maybe because you're the wrong gender, in a male-dominated ministry setting, that you've just, being a woman, you just weren't valued or honored, or just there was no room for your gifting. Father, I just thank you how Jesus honored women and treated women, and women were a big part of His ministry. And I just pray, Father, for freedom for each and every one of us, Lord, to be able to come into the glorious freedom of the children of God. That we know that we're loved, know that you have given us a unique voice, Father. That we are a one-of-a-kind masterpiece, created in your image to be a manifestation of your love, your nature, and your character. And Father, I pray that you would just bring healing to every broken heart, every damaged heart that has been wounded by a broken, orphan-hearted world system that's demanded conformity. The truth is, well, unity is not sameness. It never has been. And yet, oftentimes, when we try to define unity, we try to define it as sameness. The truth is, in the body of Christ, there's fingers and toes and elbows and ears and eyes and noses. We're all different. But together, the Holy Spirit, who is the conductor, makes this brilliant symphony, this beautiful tapestry of every person being unique. So, Father, I just pray by your Spirit that, each and every one of us would be permissioned by you to be who you created us to be. Wow. I just want to encourage you to just breathe, just take a deep breath. Whoa. Because the Father's loving you in this very moment. He's affirming you in this very moment. He loves you. He believes in you. He accepts you. He approves of you. He delights in you. You know, oftentimes we think he's looking at our shortcomings and our failings and the things that, you know, we are preoccupied with. But when he looks at us through the blood of Jesus, he just sees his beloved son. Thank you, Dad, for that. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for believing in us. Thank you for love always believes hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So just keep breathing. And I just pray that as you just reflect on your life, on the calling, your desires of your heart, that the Father will make these things really clear to you. Whoa. Whoa. Just keep breathing. You're absolutely loved. As we wrap up, I thought that what I'd like to do is end with the Father's Love Letter video. And for those who know or have heard of the Father's Love Letter, you know, you know the story maybe, but this is one of the circumstances there. This is one of the my own life story testimonies that makes this really real. And when I came into this revelation of the Father's love back in 1998, it just turned me inside out, upside down. And when I began to see the love of God throughout the entire Bible, I asked the Father one day, I just said, I was so overwhelmed with love and all the scriptures that spoke of the Father's love. I said, could you help me put these scriptures into one stream of thought? And I felt like he said to me in my heart, if you put them in the right order, a few of them, paraphrase them, they'll form a love letter for me to the world. And I just shared that as a sermon illustration in January 1999 to my home church I was pastoring at the time. And it has since gone around the world. As I say, it's gotten out of hand. It's been kind of one of the early day viral things that happened, and it's in over 120 languages. And I just want to encourage you that that's part of my voice. That's part of Anne's voice, my wife, because we've walked in this journey together. I could have never done the things I've done without her love and support. And, you know, what would have happened if I would have said no to that? Oh, I can't put this on the internet. I can't paraphrase Bible verses in the first person. All those things, which I had a lot of those kind of doubts and, you know, fears and, you know, uncertainties. But I thank God that I at least had the courage to actually obey what I felt in my heart to do. And that is part of my unique voice. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that anybody else is going to have something like that. And maybe you do have something like that in you. But I just believe that the Father wants you to be you. And so as I wrap up today, thank you so much for coming. And I just want to end with the Father's Love Letter video, 5 minutes long. It just as a reminder of the Father's incredible love for you and his desire that you be who he created you to be. So thanks so much. I won't be with you for the next 2 weeks. My wife and I are going to Florida, hopefully on Monday, just for 2 weeks. But Mark will be back next week, and I'll see you when I get back. But thanks for being here, and I pray that this video blesses you.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and he is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad, Almighty God.